Sereni pressed her back against the hard brick wall. Diloph approached with gleeful eyes. He crept forward, his line of monks closing on Sereni. It was over. There was nowhere for her to run. Suddenly, a spray of light crashed into one of the monks, throwing the creature into the air. A figure dashed between the surprised line of monks, scrambling towards Sereni.
Raoden?
Raoden spun and backed away before Diloph's attack. The king's hand whipped out, scrawling a quick Aeon in the air. Diloph crashed into the side of a building and collapsed to the ground. The priest stumbled slowly back to his feet.
Ragdomite!
Raoden dashed the short distance and grabbed Sereni.
Hold on!
The designs Raoden crafted around Aeon Taiye were complex, but his hand moved dexterously. Sereni stumbled in confusion, falling against the familiar Teoish cobblestones. She looked up with surprise. About 50 feet down the street, she could see the bare chests of Diloph's monks standing in a confused circle.
Kill them!
Ido stole my... I forgot what the book said. The Aeons grow weaker the farther one goes from Elantris.
You can't get us home?
Not by Aeon, I can't. Come on!
Then, taking her hand, Raoden started running. Frantic, Raoden searched for a means of escape. Perhaps alone he could have outrun Diloph's men, but never with Sereni in tow. Their street emptied onto the docks, where Teod's large warships were ponderously moving from the bay to engage a fleet bearing Fjordin's flag. A man in royal green robes stood at the far side of the docks, conversing with a couple of adjuncts. King Evan Teo, Sereni's father. The king didn't see them, instead turning to walk in a rushed step down the side alley.
Father!
But the distance was too far. Raoden could hear footsteps approaching. He spun, thrusting Sereni behind him, and raised his arms to begin an Aeon Taiye with each hand. Diloph held up a hand, slowing his men. Raoden froze, unwilling to commit himself to a final battle unless he had to.
What is he waiting for?
Bare-chested monks poured from alleys and streets. Diloph smiled, waiting as his warriors gathered. Within a few minutes, his group had grown from 12 to 50, and Raoden's odds had plummeted from bad to hopeless.
Not much of a rescue.
Next time, I'll remember to bring an army with me.
Diloph's monks charged. Raoden completed his duplicate Aeons. Raoden quickly began drawing again. Yet holding to his waist with tense hands, Sereni could see that Raoden wouldn't finish before the supernaturally quick warriors arrived. Sereni had to cling to Raoden's somehow more stable body to keep from being thrown to the ground. When she finally dared open her eyes, they were surrounded by hundreds of silver-skinned forms.
Aeon Taiye!
200 hands raised in the air, scribbling Aeons. About half of them made mistakes, their Aeons evaporating. Enough finished, however, to send a wave of destruction toward Diloph's men. Bodies collapsed and others were thrown backward. The remaining monks paused in shock, staring at the Elantrians. Then the decor scattered in an offensive charge, turning from Raoden and Sereni to attack this new foe. Diloph was the only one of his men who thought to duck. The rest, confidently arrogant in their strength, simply allowed the powerful blasts to hit them.
Fools!
Every decor was blessed with special skills and powers. They all had increased strength and nearly indestructible bones, but only Diloph bore the power that made him resistant to attacks by the door, a power that had required the deaths of 50 men to create. He felt, rather than saw, as his men were torn apart by the Elantrians' attack. The remaining monks were horribly outnumbered. They attacked bravely, trying to kill as many of the vile Elantrians as they could. They had been trained well. They would die fighting. Diloph yearned to join them, but he did not. Some thought him mad, but he was not a fool. The screams in his head demanded revenge, and there was still a way left. One way to get vengeance on the Teoish princess and her Elantrians. One way to fulfill Wern's commands. One way to turn the tide of this battle. Diloph scrambled away. When he entered the docks a few moments before, he had seen King Eventeo disappear down a side alley. He now dashed toward that same alley. His prey would follow.
Raoden!
Sereni tugged him toward the alley.
Let Diloph go.
He can do no more damage.
But that's the way my father went!
He took off behind Diloph.
Run, Raoden, as fast as you can!
Raoden left her behind, letting his newly reconditioned Elantrian legs carry him to the alleyway at an extraordinary speed. The other Elantrians didn't see him go, but continued to fight the monks. Raoden entered the alleyway. Diloph was nowhere in sight. The monk's powerful body appeared out of a shadowed corner, slamming Raoden into the alley wall. Diloph backed away, unsheathing his sword with a smile. As it was, Diloph's attack sliced through the flesh of Raoden's left forearm, spilling silvery white Elantrian blood. As he dodged, Raoden searched through his memory of Aeons. Thinking quickly, he rolled to his feet, rapidly scribbling Aeon Edo before him. A thin wall of light appeared between himself and Diloph. The sword was nearly thrown from his hand. Diloph could not reach him. Casually, Diloph reached up and tapped the wall with his bare hand. His palm flashed briefly, and the wall shattered. Raoden cursed his stupidity. This was the man who had destroyed his illusionary face just a day before. Somehow, Diloph had the power to negate Aeons. The sword pierced Raoden's right palm. He brought his other hand up to cup it around the injured one, but the wound on his forearm blazed with renewed vigor. Both hands were incapacitated. He could no longer draw Aeons. Diloph's next attack was a casual kick.
The stories are true. The Elantrians are not indestructible. I will still win, Elantrian. After Wern's fleets defeat the Teoish Armada, I will gather my troops and march on Elantris.
No one defeats the Teoish Armada, priest!
A blade flashed out to strike at Diloph's head. Raoden smiled at Diloph's surprise, remembering how easily the princess had defeated his own skills. Her weapon was thicker than a sire, but she still handled it with remarkable proficiency. Diloph, however, was no ordinary man. The bone patterns beneath his skin started glowing as he blocked Sereni's attack, and his body began to move even more quickly. Soon, Sereni stopped advancing, and almost immediately she was forced to begin retreating. The battle ended as Diloph's sword pierced her shoulder.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and my revenge begins.
Raoden grabbed Sereni protectively with a bleeding hand. Then he paused. There was something moving behind Diloph. A form in the shadows of the alleyway. Frowning, Diloph turned to follow Raoden's gaze. A figure stumbled from the darkness, holding his side in pain. The figure was a tall, broad-chested man with dark hair and determined eyes. Though the man no longer wore his armor, Raoden recognized him, the Giorn Wraithen.
You!
The Dakor monk spun, raising his sword, eyes flashing with anger. Wraithen stopped, then whipped his arm out from beneath his cloak. Diloph's sword hit the flesh of Wraithen's forearm and stopped.
That can't be!
He's one of them!
Diloph's weapon scraped along Wraithen's arm, pushing back the sleeve and revealing the skin beneath. The arm was not that of a normal man. It showed twisting patterns beneath the skin, the outcroppings of bone that were the sign of a Dakor monk. Diloph obviously was surprised by the revelation as well. The monk stood stunned as Wraithen's hand whipped out and grabbed Diloph by the neck. Beneath his cloak, Krathen was bare-chested, and Raoden could see that his skin there bore no decor markings, though it was wet with blood from a wound at his side. Only the bones in his arm had the strange twisted patterns. Krathen stood tall, ignoring Diloth, though the monk began to swing at Krathen's enhanced arm with his short sword. The sword did no damage to Krathen's arm, so Diloth swung at Krathen's side instead. The sword bit deeply into Krathen's side, but had little effect. He tightened his grip on Diloth's neck. Krathen's arm began to glow. The strange twisting lines beneath Krathen's skin took on an eerie radiance as the Giorn lifted Diloth off the ground. Diloth struggled to escape, prying at Krathen's fingers, but the Giorn's grip was firm. Krathen held Diloth aloft, as if toward the heavens. The Giorn stood there for a long moment, immobile, arm glowing. Krathen lowered the body with a slow motion, then tossed it aside. Krathen looked toward Raoden and Serini, stood quietly for a moment, then toppled forward, lifelessly. When Galadon arrived a few moments later, Raoden was trying unsuccessfully to heal Serini's shoulder with his wounded hands. The large doula took in the scene, then nodded for a couple of Elantrians to check on Diloth and Hraithen's corpses. Then Galadon settled down, letting Raoden tell him how to draw Aeon Ain. A few moments later, Raoden's hands and ribs had been restored, and he moved to help Serini. She sat quietly. Despite her wound, she had already checked on Hraithen. He was dead. In fact, either one of the wounds in his sides should have killed him long before he managed to break Diloth's neck. Something about his decor markings had kept him alive. Raoden shook his head, drawing a healing aeon for Serini's shoulder. Still, he didn't have an explanation as to why the Giorn had saved them. But he quietly blessed the man's intervention.
The Armada?
Looks to me like it's doing fine. Your father is searching for you. He came to the dock soon after we arrived. I have to admit, Sul, you are lucky as Dolokan. Jumping here blind was just about the most idiotic thing I've ever seen a man do.
It was worth it. Besides, you followed, didn't you?
We had Aeshi call ahead to make sure you arrived safely. We're not Kayana, unlike our king.
All right, somebody is going to start explaining things to me right now!
Serini straightened Raoden's jacket, then stood back, tapping her cheek as she studied him. She would have preferred a white suit rather than a gold one, but for some reason, white seemed pale and lifeless when placed next to his silvery skin.
Well?
You'll have to do.
Shouldn't you be alone in the chapel, praying and preparing? Whatever happened to tradition?
I tried that once already. This time I intend to keep a close eye on you. For some reason, my potential husbands have a way of disappearing.
That might say something about you, Lecky Stick.
Raoden had laughed long when her father explained the nickname to him, and since then, he had been careful to use it at every possible occasion. She swatted at him absently, straightening her veil.
My lord, my lady.
Ain floated in through the doorway.
It is time.
Serini grabbed Raoden's arm in a firm grip.
Walk!
This time, she wasn't letting go until someone married them. Raoden tried to pay attention to the ceremony, but Karathi wedding services were lengthy and often dry. Father Omine, well aware of the precedent set by an Elantrian asking a Karathi priest to officiate at his wedding, had prepared an extensive speech for the occasion. As usual, the short man's eyes took on a semi-glazed look as he rambled, as if he had forgotten that there was anyone else present. So, Raoden let his mind wander, too. He couldn't stop thinking of a conversation he had held with Galadon earlier in the day. A conversation initiated because of a piece of bone. The bone, retrieved from the body of a dead Fjordal monk, was deformed and twisted, yet it was more beautiful than disgusting. It was like a carved piece of ivory, or a bundle of engraved wooden rods all twisted together. Most disturbingly, Raoden swore he could make out slightly familiar symbols in the carving. Symbols he recognized from his schooling, ancient Fjordal characters. The Dorethi monks had devised their own version of Aeon Dor. The worry pressed on his mind with such vigor that it drew his attention even in the middle of his own wedding. Over the centuries, only one thing had kept Fjordin from conquering the West. Elantris. If Wern had learned to access the door, Raoden kept remembering Diloth and his strange ability to resist and even destroy Aeons. If a few more of the monks had possessed that power, then the battle could easily have gone another way. Aeon's familiar bubble-like ball of light floated approvingly at Raoden's side. The Seon's restoration almost made up for the dear friends Raoden had lost during the final battle to restore Elantris. Karate and the others would be missed. Aeon claimed to remember nothing of his time of madness, but something seemed a little different about the Seon. He was more quiet than normal, even more thoughtful. As soon as he had some free time, Raoden planned to interrogate the other Elantrians in the hopes of discovering more about the Seons. It disturbed him that throughout his studies, readings, and learning, he had never discovered exactly how Seons were created, if indeed they were even creations of Aeon Dor. That wasn't the only thing that bothered him, however. There was also the question of Shudin's strange Cheshan dance. Onlookers, including Lukel, claimed that the Jindo had managed to defeat one of Diloth's monks alone, with his eyes closed. Some even said they had seen the young Baron glowing as he fought. Raoden was beginning to suspect that there was more than one way to access the door. Far more. And one of those methods was in the hands of the most brutal, domineering tyrant in Opelon, Wern Wulfdan IV, regent of all creation. Apparently, Serini noticed Raoden's inattention, for she elbowed him in the side when Omine's speech began to wind down. Ever the stateswoman, she was poised, in control, and alert. Not to mention beautiful. They performed a ceremony, exchanging Karathi pendants that bore Aeon Omai, and pledging their lives and deaths to one another. The pendant he gave to Serini had been delicately carved from pure jade by Taein himself, then overlaid with bands of gold to match her hair. Serini's own gift was less extravagant, but equally fitting. Somewhere, she had found a heavy black stone that polished up as if it were metal, and its reflective darkness complemented Raoden's silvery skin.
And with that, I now pronounce your King Raoden and your Queen Serini husband and wife.
Was it everything you hoped for? You said you have been anticipating this moment your entire life.
It was wonderful. However, there is one thing I've looked forward to even more than my wedding.
Raoden raised an eyebrow. She smiled mischievously.
The wedding night.
The day was warm and bright, a complete contrast to the day of Aedon's burial. Serini stood outside Kaei, regarding the former king's barrow. Everything Aedon had fought for had been overturned. Elantris had been revitalized, and serfdom proclaimed illegal. Of course, his son did sit on the throne of Aerilon, even if that throne was inside of Elantris now. Only a week had passed since the wedding, but so much had happened. Raoden had ended up allowing the nobility to keep their titles, though he had first tried to abolish the entire system. The people wouldn't have it. It seemed unnatural for there not to be counts, barons, and other lords. So Raoden had instead twisted the system to his own ends. He made each lord a servant of Elantris, charging them with the responsibility of caring for the people in remote parts of the country. the nobility became less aristocrats and more food distributors, which in a way was what they should have been in the first place. Serini watched him now, speaking with Shudin and Lukel, his skin glowing even in the sunlight. The priests who said the fall of Elantris had revealed its occupants' true selves had not known Raoden. This was the true him, the glowing beacon, the powerful source of pride and hope. No matter how metallically bright his skin became, it could never match the radiance of his soul. Beside Raoden stood the quiet Galadon, his skin glowing as well, though in a different way. His was darker, like polished iron, a remnant of his Dulatan heritage. The large man's head was still bald. Serini had been surprised at that fact, for all the other Elantrians had grown heads of white hair. Just behind Raoden and Lukel, she could make out the silver-skinned form of Adian, Deora's second son. According to Lukel, the Sheod had taken Adian 5 years before, but the family had determined to cover up his transformation with makeup, rather than throw him into Elantris. Adian's true nature was no more baffling than that of his father. Kaiyan hadn't been willing to explain much, but Serini saw the confirmation in her uncle's eyes. Just over 10 years ago, he had led his fleets against Serini's father in an attempt to steal the throne. A throne that Serini was beginning to believe might legally have belonged to Kaiyan. If it was true that Kaiyan was the older brother, then he should have inherited, not Eventeo. Her father still wouldn't speak on the subject, but she intended to get her answers eventually. As she pondered, she noticed a carriage pulling up to the gravesite. The door opened and Tirine climbed out, leading her overweight father, Count Ahane. Ahane hadn't been the same since Rawile's death. He spoke in a dazed, sickly voice, and he had lost an alarming amount of weight. The others hadn't forgiven him for his part in the Duke's execution, but their scorn could never match the self-loathing he felt. Raoden caught her eye, nodding slightly. It was time. Serini strode past Aedon's grave and four just like it, the resting places of Rawile, Eondel, Karate, and a man named Saolin. This last barrow held no body, but Raoden had insisted that it be raised with the others. This area was to become a memorial, a way of remembering those who had fought for Irulan, as well as the man who had tried to crush it. Every lesson had two sides. It was as important for them to remember Aedon's sickening greed as it was to remember Roile's sacrifice. She slowly approached one final grave. The earth was raised high like the others, forming a barrow that would someday be covered with grass and foliage. For now, however, it was barren, the freshly piled earth still soft. Serini hadn't needed to lobby hard for its creation. They all now knew the debt they owed to the man buried within. Hraethen of Fjordin, High Priest and Holy Gjorn of Shudareth. They had left his funeral until the last. Serini turned to address the crowd, Raoden at their front.
I will not speak long, for though I had more contact with the man, Hraethen, than most of you, I did not know him. I always assumed that I could come to understand a man through being his enemy, and I thought that I understood Hraethen, his sense of duty, his powerful will, and his determination to save us from ourselves. I did not see his internal conflict. I could not know the man whose heart drove him, eventually, to reject all that he had once believed in the name of what he knew was right. I never knew the man, Hraethen, who placed the lives of others ahead of his own ambition. These things were hidden, but in the end they are what proved most important to him. When you remember this man, think not of an enemy. Think of a man who longed to protect Irulan and its people. Think of the man he became, the hero who saved your king. My husband and I would have been killed by the monster of Dakor had Hraethen not arrived to protect us. Most important, remember Hraethen as the one who gave that vital warning that saved Teod's fleets. If the Armada had fallen, then be assured that Teod wouldn't have been the only country to suffer. Wern's armies would have fallen on Aerilon, Elantris or no Elantris, and you all would be fighting for survival at this moment, if, that is, you were even still alive.
Serene paused, letting her eyes linger on the grave. At its head stood a carefully arranged stack of blood-red armor. Raythan's cloak hung on the end of a sword, its point driven into the soft earth. The crimson cape flapped in the wind.
No. When you speak of this man, let it be known that he died in our defense. Let it be said that after all else, Raythan, Gion of Shudareth, was not our enemy. He was our savior.
Elantris Part 3 is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2005 by Brandon Sanderson, all rights reserved. Recorded with the permission of the Authrow and Dragonsteel Entertainment, LLC. Production copyright 2009 by The Cutting Corporation, all rights reserved. With performances by Danny Gavigan, Lily Beacon, Richard Rowan, David Coyne, Tony Penny, Jason Stiles, Thomas Simpson, Tony Nam, Elizabeth Jernigan, Kate Foster, Mary McGowan, Casey Platt, Michael Glenn, Eric Messner, Colleen Delaney, Susan Linsky, Mort Shelby, Terrence Aselford, Nanette Savard, Scott McCormick, Andy Clements, James Lewis, Stephen Carpenter, Christopher Graybill, Ken Jackson, and Dylan Lynch. Adapted for graphic audio and directed by Johan Detweiler. Produced by Richard Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Johan Detweiler. Featuring original music composed and performed by Dan Smith and Johan Detweiler. If you've enjoyed Elantris, be sure to look for R.A. Salvatore's Demon Wars Saga. Available now in graphic audio at Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net. Keep listening for exciting previews of other graphic audio productions.
Available now from graphic audio.
Prepare! The Dactyl is awake! The demon's awake!
What do you hear? At this, your moment of birth, what do you see?
I hear the birds. The night birds.
The night bird! You have been named Night Bird on this, the evening of your birth. Taimarawi!
Carry this man. He has been rendered incapacitated by our magics. Follow me. Brother Avalyn is to be punished for treason against the Order.
You are weak and useless, and you were part of the conspiracy. What is your name?
Quintar. No living monk in St. Mirabel knows Avalyn Despris better than Quintal. He is the perfect choice. Quintal will serve as an extension of the Church, an instrument of our justice.
You are not Quintal. What is your name?
Quint...
What is your name?
My name is Brother Justice.
Attack! We're being attacked! Everyone to your post!
All men to the walls, now! We are being attacked!
Calories, everyone to your positions!
Don't miss R.A. Salvatore's sword and sorcery epic, The Demon Wars Saga. The Demon Awakens, Book 1, Part 2.
Bonsoir.
Good evening.
Monsieur Valois, I am Jacques Lambert. I have been following your research online for months. I have a keen interest in the sword.
Theo?
The sword is not for sale.
I wager you'll hand over the sword for a kidney.
Monsieur Valois, is it you?
Oui, it is real, Anya. The sword has been found.
D'Artagnan's sword.
Are you going to check to see if it is in there?
It's a rolled parchment.
The map to the real treasure.
I'm guessing this map is the labyrinthine aqueducts beneath the city.
Come along, Anya. La vie souterrain.
What an appropriately macabre place for the queen to leave a treasure. Asher, did you hear that? What do you think it was?
Probably just rats.
I don't think so.
You know, I do not like you, Lambert.
Give me the map.
Theo.
Call off your goons, Lambert.
He is expendable.
Kill him!
No!
Anya, leave me. I'm dying.
Hang in there, Asher. You can do this.
I've been expecting you.
And I'll get you, Lambert. All this is for what?
I've got my eye on a new treasure. It is another sword. A magical one.
You believe in magic?
I know, Anya. I know.
You know nothing.
I will have the sword.
Touché.
Rogue Angel 15, Swordsman's Legacy, from Graphic Audio.
If you can't find that hot Graphic Audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net.